It's always good to come to the house of the Lord, to be with our sisters and brothers in Christ, and to lift up the word of God, see lives changed, amen, see eternal states of people being changed eternally, amen. What I'm talking about a lost person getting saved, getting born again, getting ready for that home in heaven. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to the book of 1 John. That's a book almost next to Revelation. In 1 John chapter number 2, I'd like to try to preach this morning for a few minutes. We're probably not going to get out of here at 12 o'clock. If you got to leave, I understand those things, but I don't know if God understands it. Amen? I come here to preach the word of God. I come here to preach what God gave me to preach, and we need to adhere to these things, because I think there's some things that needs to be settled in people's minds and in their hearts and everything about salvation. And I'd like for you to stand with me as we look at God's word. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18. Says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that in other words deceive you, that what the word means. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, I bow my head to you in the name of Jesus. God, I know and I realize that I can't preach without you. Father, I know you have spoken to my heart, and Father, I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach today. Father, I pray that if there's someone holding on to the wrong thing this morning, they may release those things and trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God in heaven, I pray that the saved people may be revived today. God, that your Holy Spirit may visit us once again today, strong and in power, that we may dedicate ourselves to you. God, help us. Please do a work in our lives today that we may bring honor and glory to your holy name. And God, I ask these things in the holy name of Jesus, for he's so worthy. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's a great movement going on and spreading across this great nation of ours. Now, I know you might say, well, Brother Paul, you preach on this a lot, but let me tell you something. Let's get something straight right now. God called me to preach. He didn't call me to come up here and teach you something or try to smooth things over to you. He called me to preach the Word of God. Kyle, and I got to preach what God called me to preach, and that's salvation to the lost person. There's nothing wrong with preaching salvation time and time and time again, because there's so many people out there, Brother JB, they're still lost, they're holding on to the wrong thing, and they're hell bound, and that's where they're going to wind up unless they come to their senses and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's a movement going on, and I believe it's a movement of the Antichrist that's going on in this world. He's sending out here and he's showing people, well, there's many ways to get to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do or how you do. We're all going to get there. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Friend, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. There is no other way but Jesus Christ. Now, God has burdened my heart today on a couple little topics here, and I think that we need to get settled today, and I want to show you in the Word of God the truth about these matters. There's a lot of once solid fundamental churches out there that have strayed away, Brother Leonard. They have moved away from the sound doctrines and have gone to soothsaying. They have gone to soothing and tickling the ears of people to try to get the numbers in, trying to keep the offering plates up, and trying to do all these things. Friend, let me be honest with you. I don't care if right now, today, I don't care if you put one dime in the offering plate. I don't care if you're doing all these good works. What I care about today is your soul saved? You can't buy your way to heaven, amen? You can't do those things. You can't work your way to heaven. But there's a lot of a false teaching going on today. And there's a wildfire going across this whole United States, and even in some of our once fundamental Baptist churches, and people's grabbing hold of it, and they're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. They like it because they don't have to do nothing different. The Bible says that the Antichrist is already amongst you. In the book of Mark, I got a lot of scripture here, and I don't know if I'm going to have you turn to all of it or not, but in the book of Mark, chapter number 13, verse 21 through 23, Jesus Christ says, "And then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and they shall show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." Now Jesus has already told us that he's going to be coming back in the cloud, amen. He's not going to be over in California. He's not going to be a David Koresh or someone else. And he's not going to be a Joel Osteen. He's not going to be a Paul Thigpen and say, "Come see me, that I'm Christ." Because I am not him and they are not him. He's going to come in a cloud the same way that he left, is what the Word of God says. So if they say that he's over here, do not go and follow him, seeking him out. In the book of 1 John, one chapter over where we was reading at, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. If it was in the world in Paul and Jesus and John's day, he's in the world today. We've got the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, and the Bible says there's many of them out there. Now I know there's going to be one great one at the end, and when all things come to the fulfillment in the word of God, but right now we have the spirit of Antichrist all across this nation, all across this world. Let me try to get something clear this morning. Salvation, eternal life, being born again is all the same thing. Understand? Salvation, eternal life, and being born again is all the same thing. It only comes one way. Bible says that these things only come through Jesus Christ. They're all the same. Some believe and teach one must speak in tongues as evidence of a person being saved. Right? A lot of people does it. That's a false teaching. That's a false teaching. They reference Acts chapter 2. Let's go and see what the scripture says. I don't want to mislead not one person today. What this is in Acts chapter 2 is talking about, beginning verse 1, about the day of Pentecost coming. You know the story, right? About when they was in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came as a gushing mighty wind, and the Spirit of God fell upon them like cloven tongues of fire, and they spake with other tongues, the Bible says. If they would go on down and they would read what it says, they would understand that it was not an unknown language. Amen? It was not an unknown language. And they go on down, they read these things, and they would understand that there was Medes and Elamites and the Mesopotamian people and all the people around about the area that spoke in those exact same languages that God blessed them with to speak in. Why did he do that, Brother Paul? Well, I believe that's a way to get the gospel out even further. They was able to go back and tell the people in their own native language about the true Jesus Christ, about what he did. That was a speaking in tongues. It was a known language that was known in the territory on the day of Pentecost. Those other tongues was not something that no one did not understand. People understood those things. It was not some babbling going on for no edifying, but it was so the people could hear it, understand it, and share it with somebody else. Same way today. Me and Brother Nick, every Sunday, we speak in tongues when we're coming here. Ni hao. Kuma sava. Stephanie knows one. What does it go, Stephanie? How's it go? Those are, one's a Cajun, French Cajun language, one's a Chinese language. Now, does anybody here besides Brother Nick and my wife and just maybe a few others over, does anybody know what ni hao means? Hello?
I have no idea.
What good would it do for me to stand up here and preach and teach in Chinese when you don't understand it?
Right.
It wouldn't do a bit of good. It would not be edifying this church, not one bit. You know what it'd do? It'd bring attention to me, wouldn't it? I don't need to bring attention to me. I need to lower myself. And I need to point everybody to Jesus Christ. And I can't do that doing in Chinese. I can't do that doing in Cajun French. Amen? I can't do it in Germany. Now, God has given men and called men that can do those things in different areas. The Bible goes on in another place, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, and says it's best not to speak in tongues unless a person has an interpreter. Amen? Now, if I stand up here and I say, ni hao, I'd have to have Brother Nick stand right beside me and say, how you doing? Amen? Because you wouldn't know what I said. I mean, just plain and simple. People has got this doctrine, or they use this as a doctrine, as you must speak in tongues to show evidence that you've been saved. That's a lie, friend. It's not biblical. It's not biblical.
I hope nobody gets upset with me today, but friend, if you do, you're not getting upset with me, you're getting upset with the Word of God. There's too many people that's basing their salvation because they rattled off some badly good that they didn't even know what they said. And that's not biblical. And someone will speak in some language that nobody else understands. It's not bringing glory to God. It's not bringing glory to God. And that's wrong. Brother Paul, but I've been taught this all my life. Isn't speaking in tongues proof or evidence that a person has been saved? No, it's not. You want proof and evidence of a person being saved? It's in the Word of God. Let me share it with you. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and I'm going to give you proof of what is supposed to be, what gives you proof that a person has been saved. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not mentioned. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Not speaking in tongues is not mentioned in the Spirit. Amen? It's not. These are evidence that a person has been born again. It, speaking in tongues is not mentioned there. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1, it starts off. Now, this is 11 verses here I'm going to read, but we need to understand what the Word of God says. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for his offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let us not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather in giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words." That word vain there means useless, unprofitable words. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Friend, it does not mention speaking in tongues as evidence of salvation. It does not. Well, back to our text. Verse number 25 is what I'd like to emphasize on for a little while. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. It says, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Eternal life. Eternal life is what God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Friend, there is no other way. You can try to conjure up whatever you want to, but there is no other way to get saved. Salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is, Bible salvation refers to a person being redeemed from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does not cost you one penny. It's free. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl needs true biblical salvation. Every person does. Salvation will not come to a person until they see a need for salvation. And they see a need for understanding and accepting the Word of God and the biblical plan of salvation that God's Word holds. You've got to accept it and trust it as God's Word. Let me share with you some scripture. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I wasn't left out of that. You wasn't left out of that. All of us have sinned. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, the Bible said, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Every person who refuses to repent and trust Jesus Christ will perish in a devil's hell. Where will they perish, Brother Paul? Where will they perish? I believe I just shared it with you. They're going to perish in hell, the lake of fire. How and where? The Bible plainly tells us it does not leave us hanging. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the only way your name can be written in the book of life is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 42, Jesus Christ said, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You talking about misery. You talking about suffering and pain. You talking about anguish. You talking about wishing that people would have trusted Jesus Christ. Friend, those people wish they would have trusted Jesus Christ. There's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, the Bible says, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, talking about lost people, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Lost person, if you continue on the road that you're going now, and you refuse to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you refuse to accept his payment that he did on the cross of Calvary for your sins, you too will be cast into the lake of fire. But you don't have to continue on that path. The Bible says that Jesus Christ stands and says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to accept him. Jesus did not, Brother Kearney, Jesus didn't die on the cross of Calvary for nothing. God didn't give heaven's death, his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for nothing. He made full payment for your sins. Man cannot earn salvation. It's a free gift. And it's offered to all those who will believe him. All those who will believe him. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You hear that? To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And in Romans chapter 10, I use this a lot, verse 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, that's why it's important to believe God's word, and take it as God's word, because it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word shall means you will be saved. Amen. Thank God it didn't cost an old country boy like me any money, because I ain't had no money in my life. Amen. These young people that gets to the age of accountability, they don't have a job, they don't get no allowance or anything, they couldn't afford salvation, but it's offered freely to those also. Amen? Amen. You, young person, you might be here this morning.
and the Lord might be showing you in your heart that you're lost and need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to burn in hell. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get to heaven by holding on to mom and daddy's coattail. You're not going to get there by shaking the preacher's hand. You're not going to get there by trying to put money in the offering plate. You're not going to get there in heaven in those pearly gates by trying to do more good than bad. Friend, you'll have to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is only one way, and it's through Jesus. Good works now is important. And I understand those things. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing good works. But if you mix in works with grace, there's no more grace. That's what the scripture says. It says in Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, if you want to turn there, you can. And if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. The Bible specifically says, if you try to mix works and grace together for salvation, is no more grace. And the Bible says, for it's by grace are you saved through faith. Yeah. Amen. It's by grace. Yeah. It's no good works on our part. In the book of Titus. Are you with me today? You staying with me today? Amen. I don't see nobody getting up leaving yet. Thank the good Lord for that. I believe we got some lost people in the house that need to hear the word of God, the true plan of salvation today. And I don't want anybody to disturb the services. I want God's spirit. God, I ask you this morning, just outpour your spirit this morning. And just move and touch in people's hearts and lives. Because I can't do it, Brother Jimmy. I can't do it. It's going to take a work of God to do these things. In the book of Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, it says, but after the kindness of love of our God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. He says that we're saved by grace. We're saved totally by grace. But he also goes down and he says that it is important that those that has been saved by grace to do good works. And what did I say good works was a while ago? Evidence that a person has been saved. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not cutting flips in the church house. It's not babbling off all kind of junk. But evidence of salvation is good works in a person's life. You want evidence? Do what the Bible says do. And you'll have evidence that a person has been saved. In the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Got so many pages here. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about, friend. We have nothing to boast about because we could not work, have not worked. If you're saved, you have not worked your way to heaven. You have not worked yourself into salvation. Then we have another false teaching out there. Some believe that a person can lose their salvation once they are truly saved. Friend, don't take this the wrong way, but if a person claims they lost their salvation, they never really had it. Jesus Christ said, I give them eternal life. He don't do anything temporary. Jesus Christ is not going to come back and die on the cross again for your sins. He done it once and once alone. Next time he comes back, he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. We have some out there that believes that a person can lose their salvation. Now I believe a person can be truly saved. And I believe they can be taught these doctrines and teachings all their life, being raised up, and still truly be saved. I understand those things, and I'm sure you understand those things too. But I'm trying to get things straight this morning in our mind and our hearts, that once a person is truly saved and done what Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 says to do in the Word of God, and believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and accepted God by faith, receive His grace by faith. Friend, a person is saved. Amen? There's no more to it. They're saved, but they can be taught some false teaching, unbiblical teachings concerning losing their salvation, but that does not make them lost again. Friend, I've been to some different places in the United States. We just got back off of vacation from a place that it's few and far between to find in any church. We take it for granted around here. Brother Butch, we take it for granted that we can just go to church anytime we want to. We can stay home anytime. And I'm not singling you out. I'm just calling you because I see you in the crowd. And I use that. And I don't want anybody to get offended by me using your name. If you do, I'm sorry for those things. But Brother Kearney, Brother Pat, Brother Leonard, Brother Paul, myself, Brother Matthew, everybody in here, you know what I'm talking about. We've got places all across the United States and all across the world that is not preaching and teaching the true doctrines. Now, I believe a person must get saved to enter heaven, and they must do it the biblical way. Now, not all places teaches all the doctrines. And there's a lot of places that you go to. I tell you, I didn't see not one place in the area that we was at. Personally, I didn't see one, I don't think, maybe one in a distant location, that was a Baptist church. But just because they got the name Baptist does not mean they're teaching the right thing. Amen? I believe we saw a Catholic church. They had several in different areas they call community fellowship churches. I kind of get it, that's anything and everything. I really don't know. I didn't go there, so I don't know what they believe, what they teach. I haven't talked to any of those people about it. But you see what I'm saying? We take it for granted here. We take Sycamore Baptist Church, we take Sycamore Baptist Church for granted. We think everybody believes and understands everything like we do. But they don't, friend. They have not been taught. You have people in different states, different countries and everything. Maybe they have been taught the true plan of salvation, they got saved, but they haven't been taught all the doctrines in the Word of God. When a person gets born again, a babe in Christ, you know everything, don't you? No, you don't know nothing, but you got saved. That's all you know, that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you see where I'm coming from today? I believe even though people have been taught some of those false teachings and everything, if they have gone the biblical way of being saved, they're saved. They're saved, and they're eternally saved. But let's get the record straight today. Those people who believe that a person can lose their salvation, they use Mark chapter 3 and verse 29. Jesus said, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." They use that, don't they? As a person can lose their salvation, blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Well, that eternal damnation is burning in the lake of fire forever and ever. Now, let me explain a little bit to you this morning, just for a few minutes, what the Holy Ghost was sent here to do. It was sent here to convict mankind of their sins. You agree with that? To show them that they have need of forgiveness. The Holy Ghost was sent here to draw people to Christ for salvation. Amen? For the Bible says that no one can come to the Father unless He draws him, and He draws him by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came here to point mankind to Christ, who hung on the cross of Calvary, and that He made full payment for their sins. The Holy Spirit has came to point everything, everyone, to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit did not come to uplift itself. It came to magnify Jesus Christ. He did not come to bring attention to Himself, but to point all people to Christ Himself. So when a person rejects what the Holy Spirit is doing, he rejects the drawing and pointing of them to Jesus Christ. They have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. That is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. When a person rejects that Jesus Christ came, which the Holy Spirit is telling them that what He did,
And when the people reject that he died on the cross as payment for their sins, they're blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. In other words, they have not been saved. They have not been saved. Because read the verse with me again. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of each. What does that hath never forgiveness means? They have never been saved. They have never been saved. Understand that? Understand that? Understand that this morning. If they blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, which is rejecting what the Holy Ghost is pointing to, which is Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and my sins, they have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Therefore, they have never been forgiven of their sins, and they are lost. They have never been saved. That is what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is. Rejecting Jesus Christ in a nutshell. That's what it boils down to. But a lot of people's confused over those things. And I hope I was able to settle that in your heart and mind this morning. God has burdened my heart to try to help somebody, maybe some people here today, that maybe they've been taught and believing the wrong things for many, many years. But I've tried to show you what the Scripture says. Or maybe you're here and lost and you see the need of salvation this morning. I have shared with you the true plan of salvation this morning. And I hope I settled in your heart and your mind, if you have been truly saved, that you're still saved eternally. A person's salvation is not proved by speaking in tongues, nor is it gained or kept by doing good works. But there's something inside a saved person that makes us want to do good works, to work for the Lord. In the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, but wilt thou, O vain man, that useless, that unprofitable man he's speaking of, that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And down in verse 26 of that same chapter says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So you see, it's important that a saved person does do good works. Not to keep your salvation, but because you have been saved. Amen. Because you have the love of God. And that is evidence of salvation. Some teach that there is more than one way to enter heaven, and I think I've already pretty well covered that. But let me give you some scripture. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, remember John the Baptist? The next day that he was out there baptizing people in the River Jordan, he saw Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. Not one of them, not a, but the Lamb of God. Then John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then when you go find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 15, it says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Friend, let me tell you something. It might be your kinfolk. It might be my kinfolk. It might be those that loves us and we love them, and they're preaching a false gospel out there. I have shared with you today that it's not evidence in speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is evidence of a person getting saved. I'll find nowhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ spoke in tongues. I found nowhere in the Bible that John the Baptist spoke in tongues. You believe they was made pure? You believe they're pure? Amen. What about a person who's dumb? And what I mean by that is mute, cannot speak. And they get saved. They trust Jesus Christ by faith from the heart. They believe and they have confessed from their heart, because God says that he knows the intents and the thoughts of the heart. And it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, right? And friend, you got to believe. But what about a person that can't speak a word, Brother Gary? They can't speak in tongues. They can't do those things. But they can do good works. Amen. Speaking in tongues is not evidence of a person being saved. Speaking in tongues is not evidence of a person getting saved. You might say, Brother Paul, not done anything wrong or bad. I'm going to prove to you different. I'm going to prove to you. And I'm flipping over to the Old Testament. A lot of people says, well, the Old Testament is gone, done away with. It's still here today. It's still the Word of God. It's got a lot of good teaching in it. But let me tell you what the New Testament says about the Old Testament, okay? It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. In other words, the law was given to man to prove to us that we cannot earn, we cannot live good enough to get to heaven. You answer these questions to yourself. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, we have where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Now, have you ever put something else before God? The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you have, you sin. Amen? The Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. If a person has bowed down and worshipped a statue or something like that, friend, they have sinned against God. The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Probably most of us have. You have sinned against God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Have you ever dishonored your father and your mother? Then you sinned. Thou shalt not kill. There's a lot of people that's killed that sin. The Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery? That sin. Well, no, not really, Brother Paul. Well, the Bible says in the New Testament that a man that lusts after a woman in his heart has already committed adultery. Amen? I mean, that covers a lot of people this day and time. Amen? Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Maybe a paper clip or an ink pen from work or something like that that didn't belong to you? Well, that's stealing. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have you ever told something, bared false witness against your neighbor? Have you ever coveted something that wasn't yours? It's all sin. Has anybody in this building right now never done at least one of those things? Let me see your hand. You're all sinners. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law was given as a schoolmaster to teach us that you and me cannot live good enough to make it to heaven. We need a Savior, which is Jesus Christ. We need a perfect sacrifice that was given and hung on a cross for us. And friend, if you're here and lost today, you need Him today more than ever. You need Him now. None of us are perfect. And we all need forgiveness. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. Brother Leonard, Sister Patty, as you come, get ready to sing a verse of a song. I hope and pray this morning, by God's grace, that I was able to explain and settle some things in people's hearts and minds. But mainly, friend, if you're here and lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I beg you to repent of your sins and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, because you have nothing but